Do we want baptisms to be genuine, or will we settle for fraudulent rites? Should pastors also administer marriage vows to anyone? Questions not asked. I don't care if you're married to five other people already. You want to get married? You say you're a Christian? I believe you. Come on down. Should pastors allow anyone into the pastoral ministry? Doesn't matter that the guy's on the 10 most wanted list. He wants to be a pastor. Let's make him one. Should we treat the communion table as a snack? You see where we're going with this? The sanctity of ministry, the seriousness of our faith, the take the sandals off your foot, this ground you stand upon is holy attitude, not ho-hum.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, with the conclusion of our message entitled, Zeal of the Hot-Hearted.
There are exceptions to immersing someone in water. Again, ideally, the immersion speaks of the event. I am super soaked in Christ. I am soggy with the Holy Spirit. I am completely drenched in God. That is the idea that we're supposed to bring to the water baptism. And if you feel that way about God and you've not gotten baptized, get baptized. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and no other way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe that, if you love the Lord God, if you've been tested, you come and you get baptized. I like what Spurgeon said about this idea of people sprinkling folks as a routine, as an ideal. He says, I picked up a little Greek and I could not discover that the word baptize meant to sprinkle. That's right. You go to your New Testament, you try to support the idea of sprinkling water on someone and you will not be able to do it. The next question that I ask is, should anyone be baptized? No. Now, it's a different question from, must I get baptized to be saved? To which, again, the answer is no. But should anyone be baptized? And the answer is as emphatically no. Not anyone should be baptized. Well, who should not be? The unbeliever. They should not be baptized. Well, you say, why would an unbeliever get baptized? Well, some of them are trying to cover their bases with all the religions. They, you know, well, look, I'll make sure that's their perception. If I do this, then I'll be good with that God. And then I'll go over here and I'll offer incense here and I'll be good with this one. And no pastor should give, knowingly, give baptism to someone who thinks that way. Or to the unsure. Someone, I'm not sure. I think Jesus is the way. I'm just kind of foggy on it. So if you're intellectually or spiritually not sure, then you need to wait. And there's no rush. What is the rush? Jesus waited until he was almost 30 before he was baptized by John, incidentally. But that does not take away from it the urgency. Let's see. Pick up groceries, gas up the car, stop by the cleaners. Oh, get little Johnny baptized before soccer practice, and then I got to watch. That kind of an attitude does not belong to the person who is being baptized as a testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. The next question that we come to is, what should we look for to be baptized? Okay, if not anyone should be baptized, if those who are just kind of indifferent, who are not excited about Christ and their salvation, maybe they don't have it, the unbeliever should not be baptized. The person living in sin, that person needs to get right. Jesus said, you come to the temple and you make your offering and you realize you've got problems with your brother. Now's not the time for religious services. Go get it right. Well, how much more so when God's the one you're wrong with? How much more? You come to church and you realize that you're thumbing your nose at God. Should you then hold your hands up and praise Him? I don't think so. And I would hope you would agree with that. And if you don't agree with that, then you need to talk to one of the other pastors, not me, because I wouldn't be too patient. No, that's not true. What should we look for to be baptized? Fullness of the Spirit. Be they in the form of burning hot coals or a flame. Not everyone is the same in personality. Some are very, you know they're excited. Others, you don't know, but they are. And it's burning deep, and they've made their commitment, and their mind is working, and they know what they've got inside their heads and their hearts. And so, yes, Christ and His way of doing everything must be intellectually grasped. In other words, I must say, I get it. I got it. The lights are on. I understand this. The brains have to be involved. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to even be very smart. You just have to be intelligent enough. And it doesn't take much. Not only do the things of Christ need to be intellectually grasped, they must be emotionally embraced. I feel good with this. I'm enjoying it. I like it. No, I feel it too. I see it in my head. I can get my head around this, and I feel it too. I get it, and I love it. Both of those together. Not only do I love it, I like it. And then there is the will. And these three make up the heart of a human being. When the New Testament and the Old Testament speak of the heart, they're talking about the entirety of the individual. Not only the organ of the heart, but the intestines, the kidneys, all the vital organs are involved here. The center of the human being. But the meaning is my brains, my feelings, and my will, my soul, all of me and my spirit. The soul that interacts with men, the spirit that interacts with God, and my body, this tent that will perish. All of me is involved in this. I intellectually get it. I emotionally love it, and I willfully must have it. That makes the candidate for the baptism free to come and be immersed. Should it be any other way? Should we have something less? Well, you know, you can intellectually get it, but you don't really have to like it. Or you can like it, but you can be really dumb about the whole thing. And you really, you know, there should not be passion or real choice inside your heart to do this. Someone can force you to do it. Is that how it should be? I don't think it should be that way. Conviction. Conviction is that God has shown you that you're a sinner. You're not right with me. And the only way you're going to get right with me is through me. And that's conviction. That causes the genuineness of the faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Peter writes concerning those Christians who were suffering. And he was saying to them, listen, you're going through these hard times, but is your faith genuine? And this is the case with the water baptism. Before you are immersed in water, is your faith genuine? Is it real to you? According to the scripture, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we go back to our title of this morning's message, which is supposed to speak about what the pastor has discovered is in the message, in the text, zeal of the hot-hearted. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. You do the math. You've got 11 apostles doing the baptisms. You've got people waiting in line. But they're so excited about what they were told about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit moving through their lives that all of them were immersed. And there at the temple, they had the mikvahs, these little baths with which the Jews used for purification rites. There were enough of them, and they were deep enough to immerse, and that is what happened. And it's interesting that at the giving of the law of Moses, 3,000 perished, but at the coming of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 were saved. That's just a side note to the message and the glory of God. And so not from a sense of guilt, but a hot heart set free. We don't, well, I gotta get baptized. My mom would just get angry. Oh, she'll love if I get baptized. It goes either way. Moses' law, again, speaks of God's opinion of sin. That's what the altar is, the slaying of the animal, the blood, the butchering of the animal, the order in which it was laid upon the grill. The whole process spoke of God's opinion about sin, but grace speaks about his method of dealing with sin. And so we would be remiss if we did not refer to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You just can't write this stuff without God. Nobody can write this Bible without God. It's not possible. Men are not this smart. They think they may be. I want to kind of mix this concerning the grace of God and do I need to be baptized to be saved? Colossians chapter 2. Colossae was the church there in the Lycos Valley, modern-day Turkey. It was not too far away from the church at Laodicea and Hierapolis. And this church was also coming under attack of bad ideas from Gnosticism and other screwball notions that people were trying to integrate with Christianity. And Paul wrote the Colossian letter to them. And he says, you are complete in Christ, the finished work of your salvation and the finished work of his teaching. You're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That's how he said it. You are complete in him who can deal with demons and men and sin and anything else that will come your way. Though he may not do it according to your timetable, though he may not do it the way we like him, we get sick, we want him to heal us right away. Sometimes he heals us right away. Sometimes he takes his time. Sometimes he lets us come into heaven with a new body and no more sickness. But we went to our graves because of it. But he is nonetheless God in every case. And those with a heart so hot for Jesus that when they are baptized, the water sizzles and there's steam. Not really. That would be a 911 event for us. But as far as symbols go, so on fire for Christ that there was steam at the bit of a dip coming off your body. It's the glory of Christ. Baptism does not make us closer to Christ. It speaks of the closeness that is already there. Many years ago, when I was working in the steel business, we took over a job that was done by a company that didn't know what they were doing. And they were building this rather small hotel, four stories or so, and they had boxed it in so you could not get the crane in. And there were power lines. It's an existing community, and utilities were there, and there were power lines around. And so we're staying away about 10 feet distance from the power lines with the crane, and the crane is bringing a piece of concrete slab over, and I'm holding the steel column there. And out the corner of my eye, I just let go of the column, the steel on the piece, and out the corner of my eye, I see this little blue line coming down the cable of the crane. It was the electricity. The 10-feet rule doesn't work. The electricity from the power lines jumped to the crane, and boom, it would have killed me. No quay. It would knock me off the building. I wouldn't be here right now, and if I were, I'd be transparent. But a friend in the flock here, one of the electricians, told me, he says, you know, when you saw the electricity, it was there already. It was there before you saw it. You had just letting go was the Lord. And this is the baptism for us. It pictures when we get baptized in water, he's already there. We're not getting any closer to him. Now, you electricians, if you say, no, that's not right, don't take it up with me. The only thing I know about electricity is I don't know anything about it. So, but as far as the baptism does go, it does not make us closer to Christ. It speaks of a closeness that already exists. And so again, there's no rush. And yet, if you have this relationship with Christ, you need to man up or woman up, as the case may be. You need to step up and get baptized, and don't delay. But don't let me, I'm not trying to convince you to get baptized. I'm just not there. I believe in Christ. I love the Lord, but I don't have that fire and that sense of him. I'm just not ready. Okay, then you wait. But when you are ready, you'll know it. And so will everybody else. And that is another key to the baptism. If someone says, if you tell someone, I'm getting baptized, they say, you? And they live in the house with you. It's pretty bad. Why? Why are you getting baptized? Again, there's nothing with the water. You get that when you take a bath in a tub, you go swimming, we immerse ourselves. It's what brings life to this is the authenticity, the spirit behind it, the attitudes, the interaction. It's the entire package. It's not one thing that makes the baptism so special. And refusing to be baptized may reveal a case of either bad doctrine or a lost state. There's a difference between refusing to be baptized and not just yet being ready. Now, for our youth. Yes, the outward sign of an inward doing. We know the saints have taught that for centuries. The water baptism is a sign of what's happened on the inside, an outward sign of an inward doing. But it is a powerful punch in the devil's nose. It is the joy, the assurance, the conviction. It is the testimony of this is what's happened to me. This is my sermon to earth that I no longer belong to you. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. There it is again. The intellect, the emotions, and the will. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Those are the conditions set upon the church practiced throughout the New Testament. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm sure when Philip heard the conviction coming from that man's voice, there was no doubt. This man loves the Lord. God sanctioned Philip's action by miraculously snatching him away after the baptism. He didn't even hang around long enough to dry the guy off. He just baptized him and he was gone. Miraculous. And the word used there, hapazo in the Greek, where we get our word, the rapture. We get it actually from the Latin, it's a translation of that Greek word, raptus, harpazo, raptus, rapture. And a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. It's not the word, it's the fact behind the word. To know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you are a sinner and need salvation, this is what is necessary. Acts chapter 10, verse 47. This is when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. In the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit interrupts Peter by filling these people right in the middle of his sermon. You think Peter would say, excuse me? And that would have been it for Peter. But the Holy Spirit, in the middle of the sermon, before he can finish it. Now, I would have said, you know how long, Lord, you know how long I was up working on this. Now, this is just not right. When I lived in those apartments, I worked on a sermon for, I don't know, 15 hours from the letter of Jude to go to a prison. And we got that blizzard. And I didn't go. So that sermon's still somewhere in my files. But I'm sure you're saying, get back to the sermon. I really don't want to know about that right now. Here in the book of Acts, when Peter sees that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, he makes this profound statement. He says, can anyone forbid water? That means there are times that they do forbid. He then says that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just like we have. Same Holy Spirit Jesus breathed upon us and filled us with. The same Holy Spirit. I don't recall as a pastor ever being forced to deny someone baptism, but I have been part of the process where they figure it out and say, you know, I'm just not ready yet. And then to see them later on become baptized in most cases. There have been those that have been baptized that were question marks, and they went on to prove that they could be even greater question marks. We avoid following others, whether it be family or friends. There are never right reasons to be baptized. It's supposed to be personal between you and Christ, not, oh, the church is going to Jerusalem. I'm not going to get baptism at the church. I'll wait till we get to Jerusalem, and then I can do it in the Jordan. Those are noble ideas, and we understand where they come from. They're oftentimes born from just the excitement and love of the Lord, but it's not right. Baptism is not because, oh, my friend got baptized. This is why we discourage our teens from getting, one reason why we discourage them from getting baptized and not really understanding why they're getting baptized. We don't discourage them from being baptized. We discourage them from being baptized for the wrong reasons. And one thing that happens, if one gets baptized, there's that, you know, well, if my friend is getting baptized, I'm going to get baptized too. Don't do it. That's no reason to be baptized. Well, it's my mom's birthday, and she'd love that. Nope, wrong reason. The only reason why we get baptized is, again, as for everything that I've been saying this morning, is that personal relationship with a Savior who loves me and died for me and has commanded me to do this. And when I understand, after I follow the commandment, I may then begin to understand all of the value behind the wisdom of His command. And how many times have we heard adults come into the church and say, I want to get baptized. I was baptized as a child, but I really didn't believe it. Can I have a do-over? We want to avoid that. That should not be the case. We want a person to say, when I was baptized, I knew precisely what I was doing. And I don't need another one. That one was so powerful, there's no expiration date on it. It's good forever. Incidentally, that's the way it is for your marriage vows. You don't need them to be revised. They are vows. They are carved in stone. They do not evaporate. They are just as powerful 10, 20, 30, 50 years later as they were the day you said them. Living them out, that is what gives life to anything that we do as a rite within the church. The communion, same thing. Getting ahead of myself, I got time here and I've still got a lot of stuff that I worked all these hours on that I want to get to you. And so we want to avoid this, and this is why we are there at the gate to sort of filter out the curious from the serious. 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul writes to the pastor and says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Repentance is always associated with salvation. In one form or another, it's there. Matthew's gospel, this is the baptism of John. He says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. It's about the conscience. I have some questions now concerning the integrity of our faith. What are pastors and parishioners to do with our conscience? Should we sweep it under the rug and say, oh, no, just baptize anybody? Whatever you do, don't say no to my little child or else I'm not going to come back to the church. And some have that attitude. Acts 24, verse 16. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Do we have a faith to proclaim and a standard to maintain, or do we just have lip service? Do we want baptisms to be genuine, or will we settle for fraudulent rites? Should pastors also administer marriage vows to anyone? Question is not asked. I don't care if you're married to five other people already. You want to get married? You say you're a Christian? I believe you. Come on down. Should pastors allow anyone into the pastoral ministry? Doesn't matter that the guy's on the 10 most wanted list. He wants to be a pastor. Let's make him one. Should we treat the communion table as a snack? You see where we're going with this. The sanctity of ministry, the seriousness of our faith, the take the sandals off your foot, this ground you stand upon is holy attitude, not ho-hum. Should pastors immerse anyone, questions not asked, simply because they come down to be baptized? You answer those questions. In the light of Scripture, answer them. Are we guilty of trying to avoid baptizing those who are confused or wrong? Does that make the pastors guilty? Paul said, because I tell you the truth, am I now therefore your enemy? John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So if someone believes there are other ways to salvation, are we to baptize them? Authenticity gives life to the baptism. I'll be finishing up in a minute. Belief brings a sense of honor. Honor creates excitement. Excitement is held in place by conviction. You know, when they would say the word sincere, we get a word sincere means without wax. When they would make a vase or a statue in the ancient world, and if it were cracked or chipped, they'd fill it up with wax and they would sell it to people. And the person would take it home and sit it out in his courtyard, and the sun would start, you know, shining on that vase or that statue. And if the nose was broken, for example, and it was reshaped with wax mixed with a little ground up ceramic particles, the sun would melt it and the wax would cause the wax to fall off. And so when they would sell you an item and say, yeah, it's sincere, it's genuine, there's nothing in this that's not right. How much more are we with the church? Meaningful and aim, taking aim. 1 Peter chapter 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. Our conduct is not aimless. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Well, I am out of time. And I have one illustration that I said I would use, and that is the ring. The baptism is sort of like the engagement ring. The betrothal in the New Testament and the Old was an engagement. It was a covenant. It was very serious. It was a binding pledge of one to another. And when the bride receives, in our society, her engagement ring, especially, if it is of any size, if the diamond is of any size, how quickly they become left-handed. Hi. Would you like me to sign that? That's what the water baptism is. As we say, hey, I belong to Jesus now. Look, and it's the engagement ring. We don't wear it around our finger. It's in our heart, but that's what it is. And so a quick review. Fact, baptism is commanded for those who believe. Fact, baptism will not save you. Fact, Christians will argue over baptism. Fact, the New Testament presents it as a holy filling and a joyful experience. Fact, many will be baptized who don't understand what they claim to believe. Fact, some sheep will resent shepherds who seek to maintain truth and integrity around the baptism. Have you received him? That's the question. The church can survive without water baptism, but she should not. She should have it. It is a wonderful event. What to wear to the baptism? Zeal and a hot heart for Christ Jesus. I close with this verse, John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Have you received him? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you are old enough to think about what I'm saying and you say yes, you get baptized. If you are still young and you say, well, just not there, then you do the right thing and you wait. Because if you go home to see the Lord before you get baptized in water, but you believe him, you will go to heaven. Thank God he has set up a system by which the devil can't get his talons into us. That's how thorough it is. And yet it is loaded with many joys.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.